national talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and we are here, Paul.
We're here, we're back, and we're bigger than ever.
We are. Michael,
yes.
We are.
On our new day.
On our new day,
Thursday. Bat day, yeah. New bat time, new bat channel. Same channel.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And we get to, it opens the floodgates for people like these gentlemen who otherwise we used to be on Mondays. And we probably couldn't have gotten Christopher Siever here, and maybe not even yourself, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
More or less.
Well, you know, the thing is we said, well, Mondays people have the time off, so let's bring them in on Monday. And then we realized very quickly that people have the time off and don't want to come in on Monday.
Well, those who are not working in a show, of course, they were, you know, happy to come in. But people like yourself that are on the road and passing through town, and people like yourself that are busy and doing a play, you want your days off when you have them, right?
Yes. So it's exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And much easier to get here, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, getting here at 4 o'clock on a Thursday, and then I got to drag my ass home at 5 o'clock on rush hour. This is kicking ass. I got here in like half the time.
That's not, you were actually here before me.
Yeah. You know, and I live in, you know, Tarzana, so it's not that far.
You're a brave man.
I do.
You're a brave man. Can you turn me up a little bit there?
I can turn you on.
That you've
like
already
long
done.
Walks on the beach.
You've already done.
Hang on. So you start the read, Mike.
Yes,
I'll turn
we would.
Up.
Before the Falderon continues, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar each and every week.
And in studio today, we have with us two uniquely different stars of television, film, and theater, currently bringing the house down and the audience to its feet at every performance of L'Occasion Folle with co-star George Hamilton at Hollywood's Pantages Theater. Broadway's Christopher Siever is here with us in the studio today.
Hello.
Welcome, Christopher.
Oh, look at
Finest.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. That's good.
Well, it is. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
And known to television audiences for his roles as Lieutenant Tony Rodriguez on NYPD Blue and Joseph Adama in the science. Is that right? Joseph Adama? Is that
Adama,
correct?
Adama, yes.
Adama. Adama?
I'm just.
The emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yes.
In the science fiction television series Caprica, he's also been trotting the boards at the Santa Monica Playhouse with fellow actors Ed Asner, Mark Rydell, and George Segal in a thematic evening of readings titled Plays in the Park.
Plays in the Park.
Can't buy this through the mail.
I tell you, I'm breaking in a new mouth today. Plays in the Park. Please welcome S.I. Morales.
Yay.
Welcome,
you
sir.
S.I., some say E.S.I.
What is it? East side, west side, all around the town?
It's a made-up name. My father was named that by my grandfather, and I never met my grandfather. But I believe I decided to make it Isai in English, Esai in Spanish.
Okay. See, well, I am of somewhat Latin descent.
Yes.
So,
what?
That's,
what was
well, Italian is a Latin language. It's a Romance language.
It's the cradle.
Right.
It's
isn't
the cradle.
All right. Lo dico seconda domanda. Alla faccia di chi lo vuole male.
You know, I said the same thing, and they took the car. They still took the car. I told them, and he took the car anyway.
What about more?
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Not at all. But, no, I was curious, because I asked you the pronunciation of your name earlier before the show, and you gave me 19 names.
Well,
what's the full thing?
You know, the usual, typical Latino 15-name thingy.
So it wasn't true.
Isai Morales.
That's it.
And sometimes I say more or less.
More or less.
Nice. You know, more anyway.
Gotcha.
But seriously, folks, we will be here all week.
Thank you.
Sadly to say. Yes. Sad to say, but we will. Yes. True.
Yes, we'll be here all week.
My.
I got four sound bites.
You've got all those sound bites on there. You just can't wait. You have your... look at him. He's mousing. He's like, let's find another one.
I do.
Okay.
Now we're in ninth grade. Ninth grade all over again. There we go.
Hey,
cut the cheese.
He's never even used that one.
This is what happens on Thursdays. We can't have the show this close to lunch. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
4 o'clock was better.
At least the executive from the Pantages in Broadway LA doesn't get to hear those things. And,
no, that's right.
It's a perfectly clean
but
show.
But he will sense them in a few seconds.
That's how good this computer is. Yeah. It's actually a smell
quite the setup here too. It's like, you know, it's a real radio station.
It is. It is. Yeah. It's beautiful. IKEA tables.
But yeah. I mean, you can still see where they put the kluk.
The kluk.
It's the little tools that they had to tie together. The IKEA furniture. The instructions are just pictures, and then it just but they tell you to use the kluk.
The kluk. That's Swedish for Allen wrench.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Swedish for Allen wrench. Kluk.
I thought it was Swedish for cloaca. Do you know what the cloaca is?
I think I do. Yeah.
Cloaca is the.
Oh yes, I heard about this. Tell what it is.
It's the sex organ of a chicken.
Yeah. But it's like a combo pack because it does everything, right?
It does
right?
it all.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
Yeah. The cloaca is the sex organ of a chicken. See, useless shit stuck in my head. You know, I can't remember my own phone number. I know what the cloaca is.
Yes.
And this is an arts program.
It is, yeah.
It's matter of fact, Michael, that's why we're not getting the listeners. State of the cloaca.
That might get us the listeners.
Cloak of the arts. Anyway.
Click.
So this all leads back to Fred Willard, doesn't it?
Yeah,
oh,
that's what we were talking about.
Yes. Well, yes, I heard about Fred Willard, and for the listeners who don't know, which you'll know in about 5 minutes, Fred was in an adult movie theater boxing the old bishop. He was Calming the Rocket. He was Flogging the Dolphin. He was shaking hands with Mr. Happy.
He had little Willie in his hand.
Yeah.
What? Can't.
I know. That's
this
the whole
free country.
That's the whole point.
It's like, we were talking
but
about.
Was it one of those theaters?
Yes.
Well, then.
No, it was there.
I mean, how would I know?
He was watching Happy Feet, too.
Was that the Egyptian?
Oh, my.
Was that the Egyptian?
It's just
Happy Foot in his case.
Happy Foot.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to say, is that a lot of people don't know this, but Fred Willard and Pee Wee Herman are actually doing a film together that's going to be produced by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, well, yes. How appropriate. Yeah.
Yes.
What's it called?
My Left Hand.
Oh!
Good night, everybody.
Oh, thank you. No, he didn't even use his sound box.
I know.
There we go. Okay.
Say that again, Paul. What's the name of the movie?
I'm sorry?
What was the name of the movie?
I have to get the right sound bite. It was My Left Hand.
Oh.
Good Lord.
You know the thing that DVDs. You know,
I know.
You have a home.
I know.
You know the greatest thing about computers now is you can get anything, including massive amounts of porn.
Yeah.
Massive amounts.
That lotion.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, you haven't seen the new Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's funny though.
That was actually funny.
The new iLube.
Yeah, yes. Right. The iPalm.
iJack.
iJack. iJack. All right.
And we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. We have a winner.
Mackerel.
All right, where are we going? Yeah. What's happening?
Did you know? I think we've already been there.
Did you know that this is what the show was going to be about?
I had no idea. Especially this one here, I'm surprised.
Because every single thing now is going to be a double entendre.
Yeah.
The whole 50 minutes that remain, everything is going to be a double entendre.
Absolutely.
By the way, did you see that there's a wonderful foreign film out called, along this topic, Irina Palm. With Marianne Faithfull. Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's this little art house film that's fantastic. It's very, very good. She's a older woman who is down on her luck and has a child, adult child and all this. Anyway, she ends up working as a manipulator,
handmaiden,
if you will, in a glory hole place.
Really?
Yeah. And it's brilliantly, darkly funny and beautifully done, and she's great. I love Marianne Faithfull. Anyway, I saw her in Black Rider at the Amundsen with the Tom Waits Robin Wilson piece. She was great in that. She was the devil in that.
Wow.
But, she was wonderful.
All
if you see it.
All puns aside, what is a glory hole place?
A glory hole is a.
I know what a glory hole is.
Yeah.
But there's a place for it.
Yeah, like, and where is it?
I would.
And what do they charge?
And usually, I would imagine it's free normally, isn't it?
No, I think this was in the film. It was like a sex club that you paid for that had these particular rooms that offered glory hole portals.
Oh
if
my
you will.
God!
Yeah,
you just brought me back to the late 70s.
Why is that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I went, I was a very curious kid.
We just did,
18
yeah.
years old, and You know, I got my leather T-shirt with a zipper on it, and I put eyeliner on one eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to get them too confused with two eyes. But anyway, you know, a Clockwork Orange look,
sure.
You know, a leather T-shirt and a Quaalude.
And a Quaalude?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is what I did at the CBGB's Club.
In New York?
Downtown. Then the Mud Club. Remember the Mud Club? CBGB's. But I was told
can't say
about,
that I do. He's,
well, no. Getting back to this subject at hand.
Yeah. Oh, my.
I went to a place called Hellfire.
Okay.
And Hellfire was an underground S&M.
Really?
Mixed club.
Wow.
Wow.
And I saw some crazy shite.
Yeah.
I saw the, exactly. The ticket lady at our
ticket,
like,
lady.
You know, the 8th Street Playhouse. Remember the 8th Street?
Respect. Yeah, yeah. 8th Street where they did Rocky Horror for all those years. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and the lady behind the ticket booth, this very, how should I say, voluminous lady, I saw there.
Oh, man.
At the end of a long line of men.
Wow.
Doing things. And I was like, wow, what a night job, I guess. You know what I mean?
Oh. I'm so sorry.
There were rooms all over the place, like stables, literally, and there would be like men, like worm, like a hive of like stuff, and you walk, and then there's this one bathtub where people were, how should I say, inputting onto the person.
Oh,
in there.
My gosh.
And then there was a guy that was like in a big circle, he was tied up, and a woman was carving her initials on his back with a razor blade.
Oh!
This was all in this club, Hellfire, and I was like, where do you go after this?
Exactly.
Where's the after party?
Right, exactly.
Where does the fun start?
Yeah, right. Dante is next.
Oh, my
Which
goodness.
Level
wait,
of hell
I don't think
is
we've
it?
Ever had a show quite like this before,
what?
Have we?
I know. I'm using far too many of these sound effects. Let's get to the meat of the tale,
if you'll
shall we?
Yes. The expression.
What are we here for?
Okay. Our first guest
on
is not only
note.
Known for his co-starring role on NYPD Blue, but the PBS drama American Family, Showtime's Resurrection Boulevard, the hit Fox series 24, and the 2010 The Science... The 2010?
What 2010?
2010. The 2010 The Science Fiction Television... Oh, I'm sorry. There's two the's. It threw me, Michael.
I'm sorry.
You know I got the whole dyslexia thing.
Yeah. Yes.
The science fiction television series Caprica, a sci-fi's prequel to the series Battlestar Galactica, last year's web series Los Americans...
And Los?
Los Angeles. Los Americans.
Yeah. Well, I think in this case it would be Los Americans, right? Los Americans, kind of like... Not like Los Angeles, because it sounds like Lost
Correct.
Americans.
Which Los... Los Americans.
Yeah.
Right, you want to read it, Chuckles?
No.
You want to read it?
You forgot Jericho. You forgot my stint in the second season, the short season of Jericho.
I just read what I'm given, okay?
And
so you don't need to hold up the flashcards. I got this
legal,
here.
Fairly legal, Beagle. I just played the district. Well, he was a bit of an attorney on Fairly Legal, which is a wonderful...
Do we have that?
Show.
Oh, we don't have.
We
it.
Don't
oh, so,
actually.
Okay. And the biopic La Bamba, which launched your career, is self-proclaimed actor-vis.
Love that term.
And currently on stage in Plays at the Park, Santa Monica Playhouse. Please welcome Isai Morales.
Hey! That's good. I like that.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm really well.
I have to say, I have two biopics that are the best rock and roll biopics made. And one is La Mamba, and the other is the Buddy Holly story.
Yep.
Those two side by side, everything pales in comparison.
Oh,
they are...
Sid and Nancy was kind of good, but it was not so much family fare.
No. Oh, yeah. Sid and Nancy, you don't leave humming a tune.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you don't really with any of them, because they all had pretty...
Oh.
Pretty sad endings, but...
Sonny and Cher was better, I think.
What? The Sonny and Cher biopic?
The only
biopic?
One I've seen, actually.
You,
seen
you haven't
biopic
seen...
a biopic about Sonny and Cher?
It was ABC, yeah.
Oh, it was on TV.
It.
Okay,
yeah.
Not in the film. Would never make it into a motion picture.
I guess not. Why is that?
I don't think it could find its audience there. On television, it could. They were from TV, you know, so that's where you want to go,
yeah,
right?
I guess. No? I guess Cher's still alive, so...
She is.
Well, anyway. That's debatable. But anyway,
no, she is that she's
fantastic.
Ever, like she's somebody
forever young.
Ultimate,
it's a survivor.
Yeah,
think about
she's
it.
Unstoppable.
And,
yeah.
and then she's doing well.
And you think about the longevity, too, because, I mean, how old was she when she was 17? With
when they
Sonny?
First, yeah, yeah, when they met and, yeah, began
unbelievable.
Their careers.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. But, so, yeah. Plays in the Park, it's one act, isn't it?
But I'm also moonlighting as Cher's publicist.
Oh, are you?
Knew
I
that.
Was wondering
that's
why you
want to get all that in there.
He's a man of many talents.
Is yeah. that who's in the lobby?
So call me, Cher, honey. I'll check the count. Anyway, yeah, no, Plays in the Park is amazing. It's a wonderful...
Staged readings,
I know. And, you know, somebody had a hair up their butt. I read something that they were like, and they didn't even, you know, have time to get off book. You know what? You know, shut
that's
up.
What, that's what that wasn't a critic.
I mean,
was
you
it?
Know, well, it is now, you know.
Oh, man.
The point is this. We're out there doing this because for various reasons. It ain't for the money, that's for sure. But it is for the love of theater, the love of words, the love of an audience, the high of an immediate
the immediacy
response.
Of it, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do all the TV and film you want, but there's nothing like getting an audience there who's there to see you, who's either paid or not, but they're paying attention, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking at your interpretation. And the thing is that it takes on a life of its own. So it's a wonderful opportunity to keep your chops sharp, to work on your timing, to work on your instincts, and I love the material. You know,
and what an impressive your colleagues, very impressive. Ed Asner came in and you said did some nights with you. And
a lovely guest, we had him on the show.
Yes, yeah. Yes, indeed, lovely
how
man.
How gruff and lovable is he?
Oh,
at the
great.
Same time,
yeah.
I just
he was great.
Took him to dinner the other night. And I guess he took me because he insisted on paying. I'm like, no. He goes, don't make me fight you here. I'm like, okay. But I swear to you, I just, you know, I grew up without a grandfather and really not much of, you know, a lot of father
right.
time. But I told him, I said, Ed, I don't know you well. I've known you for years, but, you know, we've never, like, sat down. I got to tell you, without a man, I just love you. You are such a human being, and he's been such a champion for many years for things that are not necessarily what I would call very popular,
mm-hmm.
you know, politically speaking.
Yeah.
He was also the president of our union. And, you know, I just, you don't see people like that often anymore. So that's why it was, you know, a lot of people came out to see him. And it was a wonderful thing to just watch him do his thing.
Yeah. I can imagine. And then you have George Segal that's just stepped into the play.
Absolutely. Yeah. A whole nother take, a different frequency. You know, he's not the same gruff guy. Another angle. You know, if you saw it with Ed, you might want to come back and take a look at it with George. And also, you know, our plays, we find nuances, we find different things, and it's just it's a blessing.
Are they themed? Are the pieces themed?
Well, yeah, the park bench. You know,
oh,
I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The same park bench. It plays in the park, and the first like the short segment, about 10-15 minute piece is two women. One is an established actress doing a commercial for a pharmaceutical product.
Okay.
And another one's a young ingenue trying to, you know, make it big. And they have different takes on, you know, why. One's very excited. The other one is like, And but it's a wonderful juxtaposition. Mine is called Swans, and it's a couple that's having, you know, issues and problems and a marriage commitment thing and, you know, money. I mean, it's a universal. When are you gonna marry me? When I can. When I feel like I can provide you with security, but the way it happens, it's just very funny, and it's very autobiographical. But Brian Connor, O'Connor, is it Connor? Brian Connor's he took this from his own life when he was dating a Rockette, so it's very personal. And then the last one, Oxymorons, are two brothers who share a lot in life. Very different brothers, but they share a lover or more, maybe. But it's just, the repartee between those two. Whoever's playing them is amazing, but I can't wait to get to that age to take a shot at it myself.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell people how they can get to see this. This is a Plays in the Park, a themed show of readings of short plays. Maybe I should have read that, and then I would have known that they were themed.
Perhaps.
Since it's in the title.
Yeah.
It is Brian Connors, written and directed by Brian Connors. This is at the Santa Monica Playhouse, the main stage, and that's 1211 4th Street in beautiful downtown Santa Monica. It is playing now through Sunday, August 12th. Regular show times are Saturdays and Sundays at 3 and 7. Is that for both matinee and evening shows,
you know,
both
what?
Days?
We're cutting the Sundays because, you know, again, my weekends are completely gone, you know, if you do 3 and 7. So we're going to focus on Saturdays. My partner, Dahlia Wingard, who I didn't mention like a fool because she's wonderful, actually. I didn't mention her because I wanted to save it, but save the best for last. Yeah.
Talking about save.
You know, she has her own family. I just started a family, so yes, our Sundays are going to be...
You have a two-year-old child, right?
Well, I have a 21-and-a-half-month-old child, yes. And
congratulations.
She's going to the zoo today. And she was making elephant noises on the phone to me. I mean,
Yes. And I can't believe this. Admission, $20. Where else are you going to get this for $20? Reservations, 323-960-7788. That's 323-960-7788. And also the online ticketing is plays411.com/plays-in-the-park. Plays411.com. Plays in the park. And we'll say that again before the hour is up.
And let us not forget, Mark Rydell is also working with you, is he not?
Yes.
Former daytime soap opera star, turned Academy Award nominated director.
On Golden Pond, etc.
Pond, The Rose, The River.
That's right.
Yeah, gosh. It's an all-star cast.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful beige.
But is it themed? That's my question.
Well, what is the theme? I think it's relationships.
So their play is in the park. Is there a theme?
The theme is dynamics, personal relationships. I mean, you know, each play has its own theme is what I think that means.
Okay. Okay.
Esai, so let me ask you a question.
It's Esai, Michael.
No.
Pardon?
It's Esai. It's going to be Esai.
It's going to be Esai in a minute.
It's Esai Los Morales.
Yes, that's Moralesburg.
Moralesburg.
I'm always fascinated by actors obviously probably started in the theater, then you segued into television, or motion pictures and television, and you had a big life there, you still do, and you're back to the theater. What's your preference? Do you have a preference? Where do you like to live?
You know, it's a tough thing. For financial reasons, television, you can't beat. For security, for the ability to develop a character and get into a flow with that character, there's nothing like TV. For the immediacy of and the taking of your time in the crafting of scenes, feature films, is amazing. Because, you know, you can really work on something and take a little more time most of the time. Now with low-budget features, it's like doing TV on film. Right. Mm-hmm. But you can take your time and you really work on the material until you get that pitch perfect. And then you can freeze it. You capture it. It's like freeze-dried acting.
Mm-hmm.
But for the workout, for your development as a full-body tool, instrument, whatever it is that you have, the stage is the ultimate gym for an actor.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Because you had a great deal of joy when you were explaining to us about the show and about the different readings in your play.
But you know what the funny thing about stage is? Stage is the video games for actors because you got to go back there and I can do it even better this time.
Yeah, right.
You try to top your high score every time.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
And you have to think on your feet too because it's sort of like, you know, if you don't do a scene in a film or a television show right, you just do it again. But if you glitch or have an error when you're performing on stage, you not only have to get that out of your head so you're not focusing on that, but then, you know, you have to bend and compensate and sort of, you know, there's no comparison.
Yeah. Also, the thing is, these are slices. Every line is not, you know, the expression of your entire character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slices. So if you miss a slice, don't worry. You got a bunch of other slices to make them forget about that. You know what I mean? If you miss,
I'm writing that down.
I'm really liking his metaphors.
I'm writing that down.
I'll press record.
All right.
If only this were recorded, this show.
Damn it.
That'd be a good thing
Damn
to do. With this
now, thing. Try musicals. Try musicals.
Have you?
Okay. I did. We were mounting Mambo Kings. And we did previews and we did a run in San Francisco. And they just tore the director up so much, the critics there, that I think it took the wind out of the sails to go to New York and do it on Broadway, which was the ultimate plan. But I got to tell you, we got standing ovations 85% of the time. Like, it was, you know, even 90. I mean, the people really loved it because you just don't have that flavor on Broadway often.
No.
You know? So you're a singer.
Well, you know, if that's what some people call, I'm not that trained. I'm not like Mr. Siebert here, who seems like he's got, like, you know, laser voice, you know. I sing, and I sing my own original stuff, and but then to go, beautiful Maria, you know, like, there are certain notes and things that sing that other people write that, you know, I feel a little intimidated when I hear the real pros around me that have numbers that I'm like, oh, my God. You're like a synthesizer, you know what I mean? Your technique is so perfect. So I would sing, but I think my own confidence wasn't where it needed to be to fully, you know, to I don't know, to push it past that point. But I
did you do the role that Armin Asante did in the film?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
I have to use him because I don't remember the character's
name. Listen, I love him. He's a wonderful actor, and you know, who doesn't love Armin Asante?
Yeah.
I did a feature film with him, La Línea, which you didn't mention either, but that's okay.
I'm sorry, but we weren't able to utilize the scroll that you brought.
You know, IMDb only has so much space. The interweb can only hold so much.
We have an arts calendar that we have to do, gentlemen.
And we will go there 1 minute. I just want to throw this out there again, Michael, for Isai's production, This Place in the Park. Just phone number for tickets, 323-960-7788 and plays411.com/plays-in-the-park. Michael, would you be kind enough
Absolutely.
To kick off?
Absolutely. And our arts calendar, ladies and gentlemen, as always, is brought to you by Performing Arts Live, the go-to site in Southern California for all things live. Lily Thomason has written a cogent stage biography titled Comitas, based on the life of Comitas Vardapet, an Armenian priest, composer, and choir leader, and most importantly for Armenia, a great music anthologist.
Not the Comitas.
Yes, yes, yes,
not
that one.
Not a comedian.
The founder of modern Armenian classical music. He was also an unstable man who went mad after experiencing the horrors of the great 1915 Turkish massacre of Armenians throughout the Ottoman Empire. But before his death at age 66 in Paris, he collected over 3,000 examples of Armenian folk music, weaving them into his classical pieces, which he contributed to the divine liturgy of the Armenian church, arranging traditional music cleansed of foreign influences. He is revered by Armenians today as the man who rescued Armenian musical culture from oblivion. On stage now through August 19th at the Atwater Village Theater in Los Angeles. Tickets may be purchased online at itsmyseat.com/comitas or by telephone at 818-551-1234.
How do you spell Comitas?
And a lot of people don't know he founded Glendale. A lot of
Vic Tabak.
K-O-M-I-T-A-S.
Oh, Comitas.
Yes, Comitas.
Okay, nice. You say everything better than
Doesn't
us.
Doesn't he?
Well,
you do.
You know,
you got that Latin.
It's I'm Puerto Rican, so we had to learn Eastern Standard Diction to get the Latin-y thing off.
Eastern Standard Diction.
Yes.
I like Eastern that. Standard
Diction. Suck my dick.
My diction. Mr. Willard, you're next.
Oh, wow.
You're in the next studio.
And you, sir. I just got back from Chicago. You had a vacation with your wife. You did a little theater hopping.
I have a quasi
hopping.
Review.
Yeah.
Quasi review.
Yeah.
Quasi review, of course, is a review with a humpback. But lady.
All right. Quasi, got it. Yeah,
oh, anyway.
You got it.
Lady.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, there's a production going on at Oak Park Festival Theater in Oak Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, a little suburb of Chicago. They're not really a suburb. It's right on the outskirts. But they do great stuff there. They were actually our theater spotlight last year, one of our regional theater spotlights.
Yes, of course.
And they're doing Richard III. And I always applaud anyone who takes on this one. It's Shakespeare's longest play, and they tightened it up beautifully. I was lucky enough to see a rehearsal without costumes or sets because we would not be there for when it opened. But we got in to just attend this rehearsal, and with no costumes and sets, it still crackled. It's a fantastic production. And for anyone in the Chicago area, you sit outside. It's one of those great bring a picnic dinner. Bring it and sit outside and watch Shakespeare Under the Stars. And it's a very interesting take on Richard III. Everyone, you know, Richard III, 3 minutes into it, is just like, okay, he's pure evil. Now, where do we go from there?
Right.
And this is such a layered performance by a great actor named Kevin Tice who we've actually had on the show. He was discussing his book, Confessions of a Transylvanian.
That's right.
He wrote about his days as a Rocky Horror kid in South
Transylvania,
Florida.
Transylvanian, I like that.
And cannot recommend it high enough. Oak Park Festival Theater in Chicago. The production, actually, they begin their previews tonight, July 19th. Their official opening is Saturday, July 21st. And for tickets, you can call the box office at 708-445-4440. And this is my favorite thing. Children under 12 and dogs are free for all performances.
Really?
Yes. So it's free for your child under 12, and it's also free. You don't have to pay for your dog. Audience members are encouraged to bring blankets, lawn chairs, picnic dinners for this outdoor performance. Lawn chairs are available for rent for $2. And you can get tickets online at oakparkfestival.com. Or the box office number I gave you, 708-445-4440, and bring a mosquito repellent. Spray yourself.
Would be smart.
Off.
Yeah,
spray just a wise off. Thing to do. Actually, it's been a very, very light season for bugs in Chicago, so when we were there, we were fine, but always a wise thing to do.
Actually, go eat lots of garlic before.
Does that help?
Oh, that's true. Yes, it does help.
Really?
I think it does help.
Because what I do normally, I rub myself in bacon. Is what I like to do. Is that, they don't like pork.
They don't like. There's something about
Jewish.
Pork fat that just repels
Jewish mosquitoes. Is that what you're
saying?
One more
thing.
That's terrible. I'm going to hell.
You know, if you listen real close, you can just hear, I'll just sit here on the arm. The other thing is Jim Huber from the band Pilgrim that we had on the show.
Oh, yes.
Pilgrim is playing the Viper Room this weekend at 8852 West Sunset in West Hollywood. They go on at 9 o'clock. Pilgrim, a great band. They got a killer Johnny Cash cover band opening for them at the Room of Viper. So recommend it.
That's a good room.
Well, you had a wonderful vacation and theater was a part of it, too.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest starred on television in Two of a Kind as a college professor and widowed father to two of the most famous twins in America, Ashley and Mary Kate Olsen.
Yes.
A two-time Tony Award nominee, he also starred on Broadway as Lord Farquaad in Shrek the Musical, Into the Woods, Monty Python's Spamalot, Beauty and the Beast, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and Chicago. And as stated at the beginning of the hour, he's currently co-starring with George Hamilton on stage in the U.S. national tour of L'Occasion au Fall, which has garnered rave reviews across the country and here in Los Angeles. Please welcome the irresistible and magnificently talented Christopher Seberg.
Oh, I'm irresistible. I'm irresistible.
You are?
Well, it says so in the ad.
That's what it says?
It says so in the ad.
I wrote that about you.
Oh, did you? Really?
Yes.
Well, it's in the ad, too.
There's is
like
it?
The irresistible Christopher Seber.
There you go. I didn't even know that.
You don't think of yourself that way, Chris?
I'm adorable.
Right.
I'm adorable, but not irresistible.
Anything else?
I am resistible.
You are resistible?
I am, yes.
Yeah. I find you resistible.
It started. It started. Listen to my voice. So this is what L'Occasion does to my voice. It's normally not this like rough and everything like that, but yes. So, but it's good for the radio because it sounds so...
That sounds rich.
Well, you can get down there. Yeah.
Rich Corinthian...
But enough about Fred Willard.
Yes. Ah. Oh.
Wait, that sounds rough to you? That still sounds...
Yeah. It's not... So we have the five-show week. And it comes up, and it is rough.
Normally, he talks like this.
Totally, yeah, really. Guys, I'm cereal. I'm super cereal.
Ladies.
Yes.
Because, I mean, let's face it, even rough, you're hardly Tom Waits over there.
Well,
I mean,
oh, God, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Doing Zaza as Tom Waits doing Zaza. Come on, I'm William J. The best of times is now.
So.
Yeah.
No, it's not Scar from Lion King.
Tom Waits. All right, what are we talking about? What's going on?
Let's talk about L'Occasion.
Okay.
Because it's just killing them over there at the Pantages Theater.
It's crazy.
People are nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I went on opening night.
I saw you there.
Yes, I interviewed you for Broadway World Television.
Yeah.
This gentleman and George Hamilton, Paul, the stars of the show, came on the red carpet.
Yeah, we did.
Before the celebrity guests arrived, the other celebrity guests arrived, and they actually talked to all of us in the press line.
That was crazy because, you know, we had just had a two-week break prior to that. So we were off for 2 weeks and then going back into the show. And then it's a three-hour time. I was still on New York time, so I get there. And by the time we finish the show, it's like 3 in the morning my time. I'm like, why am I so tired? It's because it's 3 in the morning. And then we had opening night, but that was crazy. And George was freaking out because, it's George Hamilton in Hollywood. You know, yes. It's like he's playing Hollywood, so he is freaking out. He was freaking
out.
It's it is. It really is. You know, and you know he has a star just down the block. You know, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Did he go?
No. I really want to go with him. I really want. Come on, George. We're gonna go see your star.
Wouldn't it be great if he went in front of Grauman's and took pictures like next to the Batman and the Mickey Mouse and just like I have my George Hamilton look-alike costume.
And then he asked people for $5.
Times are hard.
Well, wouldn't be the first time. No, George Hamilton, upon meeting him, I've met him before, but he's
nice guy.
He's such a movie star.
He's such a sweetheart. Not a diva bone in his body.
Exactly.
No, and it's never about him. It really isn't. He's so self-deprecating, and it's always about, you know, everybody else. He's never about him.
He's a class act.
Oh, my God, he's such a nice guy.
If anybody's ever looked like his own 8x10 glossy, it is that man.
Yeah. He looks great.
Very, very, yeah.
He looks great. And he's not tan. It's actually more of a stain.
Yeah. Is that what they're calling it these days?
He's that color.
He's that color.
He's that color.
He's that color, and he wipes clean with a damp cloth.
Yeah.
He's part Puerto Rican.
Sham wow.
Well, you two have an incredible chemistry on the stage.
Yeah, it's great.
And to just watch him, you know, on the stage, and then to watch the amazing Christopher Sieber on stage. I mean, it's a delight for the audience. I saw the original production in New York. But this is like miles beyond.
Well, the thing, George, George will be the first one to say that he's really great now. We've been doing it for 8.5 months, but he didn't know his lines. He's not from that school where, you know, well, he grew up at MGM basically. So, you know, you say your words and then you're done. You know, you don't have to memorize an entire
three hours of
material. So he, you know, and he's adorable about it. But there was times, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, that feed, and he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that thing where you're like, what's next? You know, you were talking about thinking on your feet. He doesn't think on his feet.
Oh, no?
No, he's just one line to the next for the longest time. And it was really hard because I was doing twice the work.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes I had to whisper his lines to him and also sing, you know, give him his music on stage. and for a while there, and George knows I say this, so I say this with love, but we started calling the show Weekend at Bernie's. You know, because it was, you know, he knows, and he'll be the first one to admit that he has trouble learning things. Now he's fine. He's fine.
Right.
But it took 8.5 months. It took 8 months to do it. But, oh, my God, there were times when I was just like, how can you not know your lines after this? How can you not know your lines? And he does now. And he's terrific now. So thank God we're here in L.A.
Yeah.
And because he was so freaked out about, like, not knowing, you know, if he could, you know, get through the show. And, you know, we're here in L.A. and he was freaking out.
After the 2 week break?
After the 2 week, that's what we came back. You know, so he was really on. It was great. So he's perfect now.
He spent 2 weeks just learning.
Yes, learning the lines. Yeah. Yes.
But what do you do after 2 weeks when you're off? Do you ever wonder, do I have to go back over it before I get back on?
I don't. It's always there.
It's there.
It's
right?
always there.
One
for
well,
me.
I mean, I would imagine
next. Yeah.
After 8.5 months.
Yeah.
I mean, how long was it before the 2 week break?
We were doing 5 weeks. 5 weeks and then the 2 week break.
Oh, so
5 weeks on, yeah.
Oh, so you, but how long had you and he done the show?
At that point, 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like riding a bike.
You started last October.
It's riding a bike. I'm sorry?
Last October.
We started in Des Moines, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Des Moines for 5 weeks,
if
teching
you can make
and putting
it there.
And you can make it anywhere.
What's the old joke? First prize is a week in Des Moines. Second prize is 2 weeks in Des Moines.
Yeah, exactly.
We had a great time though. Des Moines is a really nice city. We had a great time there. The people were just so awesome. Yeah. They were great.
So there's still a sense of event.
Yeah.
They're not jaded people.
No, not at all. They were so. It was so awesome.
Do they ever say Des Moines?
Des Moines. Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Yes.
Like that.
I wanted to ask you because it always astounds me that people as established as what you mentioned earlier with George Hamilton getting nervous. Do you get nervous after the amount of things that you've done with your you know, just the length of your credits and all that. Do you still find you get performance anxiety?
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's getting right into my face. He's getting really close and personal now. I do. I say anything new that you don't, you know, it's that uncertainty of new material that you're out there,
right.
You know, but it's also, that's what I love about it. because it's dangerous.
Right.
You know, that's why I do theater. That's why I love that.
But danger. after 8 months.
After 8 months, no.
No?
No.
Really?
But isn't every audience slightly different? You cannot.
You can't. No. Judge. Yeah. You can't judge. You never know what's going to happen. But that's the exciting part. Right. You know. You never know what they're going to. You know. Because we have audiences sometimes that are silent. And yeah. We're doing a musical comedy,
yeah.
And they're silent. But it's the regions that we go to. Like we are in Florida, in Naples, and I will tell you, and I will say this on the air, that Naples audiences are the worst.
Really?
I have no problem saying that because wow. I spent a week trying to entertain them, and they just stared at me as if I was, I don't know. They stared, and I was like, these are the jokes, folks. These are the jokes. This is what's so and oh my yeah yeah. But then my friend Johnny Tartaglia always says you can't hear a smile. I was like, I don't even know if they're smiling.
No,
I don't even know.
John. But you could.
I could hear indigestion.
It doesn't play the same. That was going to be a question of mine. It doesn't play the same all the way across.
It doesn't.
The
it's weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And even in the same town. I mean, we were doing the place in the park. The first matinee, I would have sworn, you know, like you had professional laughers in the audience. It was like, whack, whack, whack.
Yeah.
And then the opening night, which I thought we'd really kill for, it was just about, it's 80%.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, I'm like, okay.
And opening nights can either go either one way or another, because usually if it's opening night, they're invited friends and family, and then there's also the producer's friends, and then the producer's presenters and all this. And so they're nervous. The people with the money are nervous.
Yes, right.
So they're sitting there like, oh, please, everybody. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the opening night audiences are usually terrible. So it's Friday night. Friday nights suck.
But also critics
don't
like to laugh.
No, they don't.
They don't like to give it away.
No.
They just scribble.
You know, but I don't. You know what I mean?
Well, they scribble.
I think it depends on who the critic is. I mean, I think that there's two kinds of critics in today's, you know, marketplace. There are critics, and there are those who review the theater. With the media, and Benny knows this better than anybody, with the media, the change in the media, you know, today, we don't live just with our daily newspapers because very few of them are alive anymore. So everything's on the Internet.
Yeah.
And
which puts a lot of unqualified people out there reviewing theater.
Often. Yeah. People that don't really have
the boards.
What's your differential between critic and reviewer?
Well, the reviewer is someone who is less knowledgeable about it. I mean, they may enjoy the art, that's for sure. But to give their opinion, it's given in a very different way. It's not a.
I had a good time as opposed to.
Yeah, it's very.
They did not know this, that, and the other.
I mean, if they can even write is one thing.
Yeah.
That's questionable.
Yeah.
But and I'm not denying anybody from expressing their opinion and having a following of people that read them, and they all do.
Yeah.
You know, they all do. It's just the new media. It's where we are.
Right.
You know, in this time of our lives.
Yeah, it is. I think the quickest way to see the difference for me is that a reviewer is the person who gives you the entire synopsis of the show, mm-hmm. and then in the last paragraph sort of tries to sum up what they liked and didn't like about it. The critic will review the piece and just examine it as a piece of theater and critique it for what needs to be critiqued, but mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily feel a need to impart the whole evening. You know, and the entire storyline to people. That's another thing that drives me crazy. You read these reviews and they're you know, because there's no limit to online acreage, and there's also the bathroom wall aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet is the world's
everybody
largest
has an opinion
bathroom
now.
Wall.
Yeah, everybody has an opinion.
Well, there's still people, you know, who have great respect for the theater and write about it in the new media forms. Don Grigware, Broadway World, being one of those people. He's a very distinguished writer here. And, you know, you look for those people on the internet, those people that are important, that have something to say. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
But always proactive about the arts.
And knowledgeable, right.
Yeah, very, 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 very necessary.
Before I forget, I want to throw the information out there for La Cage aux Folles. This is at the Pantages.
What? I love that.
The movie.
That would be Eastside, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Eastside has developed a leak of some sort. This is at the Pantages, as we all know, 6233 Hollywood Boulevard, and it is... For tickets, you can go to BroadwayLA.org or call 800-982-2787. That's 1-800-982-2787 or BroadwayLA.org. You can also check out the Pantages box office. You happen to be in that neighborhood. It opens every day at 10. And we should also mention it's recommended for ages 10 and up. And in consideration of audiences, no one under 5 is admitted to the theater. And, wow, orchestra-level tickets start at $25.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Man. And you know what? That's
a big place.
That's worth just walking inside this incredibly
incredible theater. Oh, yeah. That's worth the lobby.
Orchestra-level is $25.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. The place is almost 3,000 seats.
Pantages is
big? Yeah, it's like 3,000 seats. It's ridiculously huge.
Man.
Yeah.
I love that room.
And perfect. It's a perfect theater.
It's beautiful.
So you have to project a lot.
Christopher, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
One more thing. Can I throw one in before you
do?
Just Tuesdays through Fridays at 8. Saturdays, there's a 2 and an 8. And Sundays, there's a 1 and a 6:30.
And go see it, ladies and gentlemen. You will be doing yourself
I'm amazing.
A favor. He is amazing.
I am amazing in the show.
Are you?
You're amazing now.
He is amazing.
But oddly enough, resistible.
Resistible. Resistible. Completely resistible.
To a few. Just to a few.
And it closes this Sunday.
Yeah, so we're done. And then
Sunday,
we're going
July
so far 22nd. Away. We're going so far away to Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa. Yeah, but you know what? For a Los Angelino, that is too far away.
Yeah, as what is it, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
That's too far.
It's a 45 complicated
wait,
minutes.
Wait, it closes this Sunday. You got any good tickets available?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll buy them. My mom's in town.
All right. All right. You're going to know it.
All right.
Come dance.
Deal.
Yeah. We'll mind if we get back to the show here, guys, while you guys do your
ticket deals on the sides. He's scalping.
I did have a question. You have played some of the great roles for men on Broadway.
Yes.
From Millie to Beauty and the Beast to Shrek, and now Lacage. Do you have a favorite?
I really did love Spamalot more than anything, because that was just the dream cast of people.
Yeah.
It was heaven. We had David Hyde Pierce, Hank Azaria, Tim Curry, Steve Rosen, Christian Borle, Sada Ramirez, myself, and Michael McGraw. And just that ensemble of us on stage, that was unstoppable. It was like we couldn't wait for things to go wrong because, yay, we got to play and completely off the show.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was a feeling when the audience wants to get up on stage with you and play, that's amazing.
Magic.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's magic. And I did like Farquaad, Lord Farquaad in Shrek, because I actually wrote a lot of that.
You did?
Yeah. So David Lindsay-Bear was nice enough to let me just go. And so we kind of share credit on that.
What an amazing role.
Wasn't it crazy?
It was
on my knees. The entire show. My part, I was, because I'm Lord Farquaad, I was 4.5 feet tall.
And normally that's just the audition.
Exactly. That was just with Fred Willard. It was the first time, that was it. The first time I ever had to be on my knees after I got a job. But no, I was 4.5 feet tall, so I did the entire show on my knees.
That had to kill
with these little puppet legs in front of me.
I have an orthopedist.
Oh my God, my back and my spine, I'm all screwed up now. And now I'm wearing a corset and high heels. I only do parts that hurt me.
Really?
You know, but sometimes comedy hurts.
Sounds like my love.
Gentlemen, we have come to that time in the show where we baptize our guests.
We have about 3 minutes to do it.
Oh, dear God.
So we've got about a minute and a half each.
Okay.
Get that lotion away from you.
One of your most embarrassing, perhaps awkward moments on stage, in film, television, wherever. We're going to start with you, sir.
Start with him. He's so much more entertaining.
Oh, we're going to start with you, sir.
All right. Hey, okay, so really quick, because we only have a minute and a half. So like I said, I was in Shrek the Musical. I played Lord Farquaad, and I had these little...
You can take your time.
Okay, I'll slow down. Thank God.
Not that
so
slow.
Faster. I had these little puppet legs in front of me that were attached to my knees. And what happens when you walk on your knees, these little puppet legs in front would act as if little teeny tiny legs. And so at the top of this big number called What's Up, Duloc, I'm in this elevator box and it goes up and I do this really funny thing with these little puppet legs and whatnot. Well, when the elevator went up, one of my little puppet legs broke, and I cannot. There's no way to do the show, the number at all, with a broken puppet leg. Okay, so I yell at him when I'm at the top of the elevator. I yell down to the stage manager, Casey. We have to stop the show. I broke my leg. You would think that all hell broke loose. It was like, Sieber broke his leg. Sieber, stop the show. Stop this. So they did. They stopped the show and I broke my leg. I did break my leg, but it was my puppet leg. And so the orchestra stops. The conductor comes out. All my amazing IATSE 1, my crew guys are all freaking out. And they're like, should I call 911? And we're like, you got... And I took my little puppet leg off, and I was like, my leg is, what are you doing? Just get me the other rig. It'll be fine. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. So we stopped for 5 minutes. But then it made Cindy Adams in the papers and everything. It's like, broke my leg. I broke my leg. Yeah.
Oh, my God. No mistake.
No. But that wasn't necessarily embarrassing, but it was kind of funny.
Oh, it's very funny.
They got you in Cindy Adams.
It's so funny.
Cindy got me in Cindy Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm panicking because I have nothing remotely.
Oh, don't worry about
funny.
It. Oh, come on.
I mean, you know, except when I was doing a mini series playing Rashid, a Persian, fan of the Americans who helped the Americans get out of Iran when the revolution was going on, and I was working with the one and only Burt Lancaster, and. You know, at the time I was rather young and I didn't know about, protocol per se, and he kind of wanted the scene to go one way and I thought that was a great idea. He was very kind of bossy, but I went to Performing Arts High School, we have our own method too. So I said, okay, well, let's do it your way and let me try it one more time, do it my way, right? And there was a reviewer from the TV Guide who became my buddy. I thought, oh, what a great guy. Later on, the headline was, upstart, nobody tells Burt Lancaster how to act. That was classic. Great. Oh, the whole article was about...
He went to Performing Arts High School. Burt Lancaster is asking. He's dancing on cars in the street.
He starts, little hot lunch.
He starts the article, Burt Lancaster, Academy Award, Elmer Gantry, this, that, and the other. Shelley Winnem, he worked with the top people in the world. Isai Morales, on the other hand, is lucky to be recognized by his barber.
Oh,
wow.
You never forget those reviews, do you? Yeah.
And the funny thing is that there was one scene where I looked to the side because I can't believe he's asking me to go, to with them to America. After all this time, I helped them to get out of this country. And I'm like, come now. And I look to the side and I look to the other side like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And he stops and he goes, what the hell are you looking at? I'm right here. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. He was tough, but he was a great guy. So anyway,
ladies and gentlemen, Isai Morales in Plays in the Park at the Santa Monica Playhouse through August 12th, and Christopher Sieber through July 22nd in La Caja Fall at the Pantages Theater.
This Sunday. Thank you, gentlemen. A pleasure having both of you on. And remember, we're on Thursdays now at 1 o'clock, no longer Mondays at 4. Michael, look forward to seeing you next week on the radio.
See you on the radio.
Bye.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.